pickleball is just so much more accessible to people than golf. You know, I've been on those events and, you know, six people stand up and hit all the golf balls and the other eight are back in the back. Pickleball, we get everybody involved and you don't have to be a world-class athlete. Our goal is for them to take something back to the office.
Welcome back to The Future of Pickleball. This is the show on Selkirk TV where we get a chance to talk to the leaders of the industry, people that are creating the future of pickleball. Today, we've got a couple of really, really interesting guests from PBCB, and it is Peter and Christine Burrows. Their company is very interesting in the corporate entertainment and corporate bonding world. I'm sure that terminology she'll clear up for me. Welcome, Peter and Christine.
Hey, Paul, good to see you again.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, Paul.
I really have looked forward to this. I had an opportunity to meet these guys at the Pickleball Minds Conference in May back in Princeton, New Jersey, and I've watched closely what they're doing, and it's really interesting. Why don't you first give me a little bit of an idea, is what was your pickleball story? How did you guys come on the basic sport of pickleball to begin with?
All righty. Well, you know, like many of us, we came out of the tennis space and had some friends invite us to their backyard and play a game that they thought they knew how to play. And it was a Friday night and there were beers involved and there was no knowledge of the no volley zone or the kitchen. And so we were having a good old time slamming balls, drinking beers. And we're like, yeah, we're in. This is good. And then the next time we came back, somebody said, oh, you know, hey, there's this line, you're not supposed to, you know, hit the volleys in there. And we're like, ooh, this is kind of icky. And then Peter's mother, who's like 80, had said, oh, you guys would really like this. And I'm like, first of all, an 80-year-old, and now I can't slam the ball. Oh, I'm out. So it took us about a year to step back on a court, which was probably 6 years ago or so. And we've slowly been doing that, you know, leave tennis, take on pickleball, and now we're all in.
And so now everybody has their story, like you guys do, about how they found pickleball. But at a point in time, you had to decide that you were going to make a business venture out of it. How did you get inspired? What was your decision to create PBCB?
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, Peter and I are, we're going to call this our encore career. And that doesn't mean anything about us being old, but, you know, we were eyeing our own retirement from the corporate world. And we had always said we would be good business partners because we have kind of a yin and yang to us, you know, accounting, operations, visionary, marketing. And we thought there might be an opportunity for us to collaborate. And as I was looking at, I was kind of staring down retirement before he was, I thought, okay, you know, this Kaizen exercise, what am I good at? What do I like to do? What does the world need? What can we monetize? And everything kept coming back to, I love pickleball. I think I'm good at it. I have this leadership background where I could bring it to. And I think there's some things out of the pickleball play that look a lot like how people communicate and collaborate and strategize at work. So I went to him and said, can we do this? And by the way, it really works great with our names, PBCB, Pickleball Corporate Team Building. So how about if I spend some time putting together a business plan? And he said, sure, go for it. So we built out a business plan and an idea and socialized it with a few people that we thought were in the field and thought it would be a good idea. And then we just ripped the Band-Aid off and kind of went for it about a year and a half ago. We opened up business.
You know, before I want to delve into that background a little more in detail, but before we do that, I do want to ask you, if you're watching this show, these are the people that really are helping steer the industry. Hit the like button. subscribe to this show, hit the notifications where you hear about it when they come out, and feel free to comment on what you're hearing and what you're seeing. This is really how those of us on the B2B side of the sport are helping communicate the possibilities and the message of pickleball. That being said, Peter and Christine, tell me a little bit more about your backgrounds, your professional career backgrounds that led you to bring whatever skills you've got to the game.
So, I've had a career over the last, I'd say, 35 years or so. I started out as a public accountant way back in the day, and over time morphed into a CFO for a few smaller family-run businesses. And then back in 2006, I guess I'll call it my midlife career crisis, I got out of accounting altogether and went into business with a few other guys. And we actually ran a salvage auto auction, which is something I'd never done before. And I got more into the operation side of things with that particular group because they already had some financial background with some of the other guys there. But so all throughout my career, though, I've been in a corporate environment and, you know, seen all the dynamics that go with growing companies, in particular, smaller to growing companies, and the challenges that they face. So this, as I got to the end of my career in the salvage auto world, this was like Christine said, our encore careers, if you will. But I think one of the things that helped us in terms of timing with this was not only our initial, our intro into pickleball, but was, you know, how the world changed in 2020, 2021, and so forth, and everybody working at home. And now, you know, there's a much more disjointed workforce out there, something that I wasn't really part of, you know, in my career. But anecdotally, you hear about these companies struggling to retain and keep employees and keep them happy and engaged. And Christine, as you mentioned, kind of develop the curriculum, if you will, that we use for our events.
I want to tell you guys about one of the best additions I've got to my game. And it's not another paddle. It's not another shirt. It's my Selkirk Tour Bag. Selkirk bags are designed with tremendous intent. They're to help you organize, to keep things that you need with you where you can get at them whenever you want them. The beauty of the Selkirk bags is they're designed by a company that really thinks first, last, and always about pickleball. They've created a series of bags at all kinds of price points that are tremendously well designed, and frankly, they look really good. Look at the Selkirk bags, not only for what you do courtside, I use my tour bag as my travel bag when I'm going around the country. Selkirk will help you have the best experience you can have. Enjoy it. Thanks so much. You can find all the bags on Selkirk.com's website. You know, I love hearing about the different career backgrounds that have brought people to where the sport is today. Christine, give me a little bit of an idea of what brought you to the game career-wise.
Sure. So my career is a little bit more storied than Peter's, from high school history teacher to the edutainment space. And then I parlayed all that into content marketing and strategy. So kind of a little bit of everything. But throughout that leadership development piece was part of what I did, as well as facilitation. So I thought, you know what, there's something here that, you know, I understand curriculum, I understand facilitation, I understand team dynamics and leadership development. So all of that pieced together. And every time I thought about, hey, how are two people on a court resonating with each other as they play? How are they communicating with each other? How can they be better at doing that? I thought that's really something we could extract and bring to work teams.
You know, that's always with all of the guests that I have, it is such a cool dynamic to think of all the different perspectives and visions that have come together. You know, what I'd really like to do is I'd like to have you explain what the PBCB business model is, how you serve the community, and what's your target market?
Sure. So our core offering, our flagship offering, is a 3-hour team building experience for teams of, let's say, about 36 is optimal for us. So that's 6 courts, 6 people on a court. And we run everybody through we take everybody, level set them from CEO down to admin, from the non-athletic to the D1 athletes, to the players, to the non-players. And we bring them in at ground zero. We say, we're not spending a lot of time, no time on scoring, very little time on serving. Our goal is not to complete these 3 hours as professional pickleball players. It's to learn enough pickleball that while we're playing, we get to tap these other pieces of it, the communication part, the styles of communication, the way we collaborate. So what we do is we do basic soup to nuts. Everyone's on a court with a coach. Now, I use that word a little loosely. We aren't certified coaches, but we're good enough players that come out of corporate background that understand the positive experiences people need to have and can follow my lead in facilitation. They go to the courts, they bounce the ball, they learn the techniques. Then we run through these proprietary pickleisms. These are cute little catchy phrases that are skill building drills that look and feel a little bit like things that happen at work. For instance, think to dink is always number one. You know that dinking is a essential skill. It's a go along to get along. It's keep yourself in the point until somebody reveals a gap or an opportunity for you to hit a winner and to come up with a new idea. So we think to dink. Another one is the word ours with an X through it, because we can't both hit the ball. Only one of us can. So we have to communicate. We have to call the ball. We have to. So we do. We're all talking at that point. There are 12 of them, but we handpick about six that we like to do with a group based upon their priorities and their goals for the session. And then we run into play, competitive play, where we, and all this is constantly moving. Six people are moving and shifting and playing different people. There's a lot of, let's just say operations involved and coordination. We're hand-holding everybody. And between each one, we come back and do a mini debrief. What did you see about yourself? What did you see about your partner? What did you see about your opponents? If they are a company that's already invested in one of the personality inventories like DISC or Clifton Strengths or Enneagram, we use that vocabulary. And how did you see that manifested during play? Is that different how you see each other when you're at work? So we do a little mini debrief, and then we move into part three, which is competition. And we actually round robin play. We keep score. We only do to 6 points. We do rally scoring. They have winners and we document winners. And then everybody goes from the court to our celebration board, where they actually then give credit to their partners and opponents for demonstrating the pickleisms. How were they at their resilience, their body language? How were they at thinking to dink? Did they have their paddle up? Were they good partners? And they give each other points. Then at the end, we celebrate. We have winners. We give out prizes. We debrief. And everybody goes home knowing each other a little bit better in a little bit more positive light. And many of them have caught the pickleball bug. And we refer that out. Then we basically say, hey, you want to learn more pickleball? Here are some pros. You want a place to play? Here's a place to play. You want equipment? We have equipment to, you know, that we can refer them to.
So you're deliverable then for your client when you sign up with somebody, a corporation, to work with you and create your event. Your deliverables kind of describe how you would be talking to a CEO that you were selling to as to what you intend for them to benefit from at a corporate level.
Yeah, it's as Christine pointed out, yes, in a really broad, generic sense, but we can customize it based on what they, you know, what feedback they give us. And that goes from the various pickleisms we have that stress different parts of the strategies on the pickleball court, which translate to the corporate dynamics, as well as, you know, some are interested in digging deeper with these personality assessments. And so, and we have, as you mentioned, a variety of those to offer if they want to, you know, take that route as well. And they really dovetail nicely, you know, on the court.
And so now the outings that you do, I mean, goodness knows I was in the corporate world for a whole lot. I was at an awful lot of golf outings. Mm-hmm. How does your event, or what's the interest from corporate America in possibly looking at your type of event as opposed to the traditional golf event?
Right. That's a great question, because we right out say, hey, you want to go take everyone to a bar or go to Top Golf? Have at it. You know, really, we are trying to tap the interest and the low barriers to entry that pickleball offer, but we're really trying to make this a substantial investment in your people. In other words, how can everybody leave with a better feeling about themselves and also a better understanding about their colleagues? And maybe it's not just bonding, but it's a little deeper than that. It's a little bit deeper self and other awareness. we have people, we have groups that we've worked with that have walked back and, you know, their sales team calls their morning strategy meeting paddles up now, or they talk about, hey, it's not ours, or, you know, we have a body language one too, you know, they're leaving and they're talking about those things. And that's all, we are not organizational development people. We're not, you know, trained psychologists, but we know that when they leave, there's a little something that they've learned about each other. So the, you know, what do you say? What's the reason to do it? It's to build confidence, communication, collaboration, and culture building for the group.
Go ahead, Peter.
I'd just like to add, relate to you with the golf outings and all the corporate events over the years. Pickleball is just so much more accessible to people than golf. You know, Christine used the Topgolf example. I've been on those events and, you know, six people stand up and hit all the golf balls and the other eight are back in the back, you know, where they're eating beer and drinking eating nachos and drinking beer. Pickleball, we get everybody involved and you don't have to be a world-class athlete and, you know, just to get started. And it's our goal is for them to take something back to the office. It's not just about sitting around for 3 hours and, you know, socializing. So we believe it has traction.
From the time I met you guys and I began hearing about your concept and relating it to things that I had done in my background as an executive in the sporting goods industry, the idea of the inclusivity, the women's involvement, and this concept of newer employees and senior management having ways to all be a little more comfortable. It just seems to me that it has a wonderful piece. You know, on your website, you have a 3-word pillars in terms of play, develop, and connect. Tell me a little bit about what those pillars really guide you towards.
Well, thanks for checking us out, Paul. So play is what we just talked about. That's our team building. And then we say to companies, if you want to go deeper, if you want to really tap a little bit more about each other, you've done this basically a laboratory experiment with your team. You've been able to get them out there, take down the barriers of these are my work assignments, this is what I do every day, these are my stressors. Now you want to go a little deeper. We have business partners that I know through my field of expertise that are deeper experts in Clifton Strengths, in mind, body, wellness, in Enneagram, in collaboration and social psychology, that we can bring those people in and make it a full day experience where they play, and then they learn more deeply, or vice versa, or we split the group up and do that. So that's our develop. And then our connect is, if there's a group, a company that says, hey, we've already done this, we don't need to do this, but our clients or our prospects would really get a kick out of this, how about you come on and put up like a networking event for us? So we don't go into the pickleisms there, we just provide what they need to do a big fun event, to round robin play, and for us to be their leaders in that regard.
Perfect. Now you mentioned the Clifton Strengths and Enneagram, and I know Six Working Geniuses shows up, but I don't know, other than what I did in my little research prior to getting this, explain a little bit for those of us that don't know what those specific disciplines are.
Yeah, thank you. So each one of those is an assessment that individual employees can take and that a company may invest in as part of their getting to know people and for them to get to know themselves at a deeper level. Clifton Strengths is my favorite. It's an assessment that was developed by Donald Clifton through the Gallup poll. You guys have heard of Gallup before. So it's about, mm-hmm. I don't know, 40 years old. And it's one of these assessments that you take where you pick A or B or C, you know, and then the output is your top 5 strengths that are in your best wheelhouse. And they fall into categories like execution, influence, relationship, and analysis. And so then you're in those group, you have these top 5. And the premise is that if you operate and hone those top 5, you will be happier, you will be better at your job, and you won't be trying to do something that you're not essentially good at. So Peter and I have very different strengths. When I step into his zone and try and do something that's, you know, operational, you know, I'm not as good at it as he is. So he should be the one taking the lead in those things. When, you know, I have Wu as my number one Clifton Strengths. You can see that. You know, I'm a person who is comfortable in front of other people and uncomfortable in winning them over, if you will. So Clifton Strengths is that, and the way that manifests itself by having that information. So say a team comes and they put all five of their strengths on their name tag when they play. After we've done a drill, we come to the net and say, so how did you see someone being particularly disciplined or needing significance on the court or being, ideation and really thinking deeply about these things? And you can see it during play as well as seeing it in work. Same thing would go with any of those other six working geniuses is another one that has, I won't go into all of them, but each one of them has a different revelation about personality type as it shows up at work. So we just use the playground of the pickleball court to reveal some of those things a little more deeply.
You know, the natural question that comes up for me now is the largest amount of the real heavy following that I have on this show is on my LinkedIn site, and it's the B2B people. And it's, yeah. I think it's a lot of senior corporate people that are looking at what's pickleball about. Does it match with their company model? Is there a business opportunity? Those kind of things. For those kind of people, how would you tell them to look into what you're doing and how they might engage with you if what we're talking about excites them?
Yeah. We also have a substantial LinkedIn following, and we try and produce content that is around team building, is around these domains of expertise that we have in leadership development, is around just pickleball, really any kind of interest in pickleball, just like we met you through Amitabh's Pickleball Minds. Anybody in that greater business ecosystem, we like to kind of comment on what they're doing, bring it to the forefront. So LinkedIn is certainly a place where you can find us being active and trying to produce content that is meaningful and valuable to executives who are trying to retain their best talent, build up culture, have some fun with pickleball at the same time. We're on all the social avenues, but that's the one where we spend most time for the same reasons you do.
And I'd add one other point too, Paul, is health and wellness is, those are buzzwords now in the corporate world, keeping your employees healthy, not just engaged, but healthy. That's an adjunct benefit to this as well. Get your people out on the court as opposed to, I'll go back to, axe throwing or one of these other events,
Sure.
And it's something that they can adopt and foster, better bonds outside of the office, because again, I used the word accessible earlier. It's a very accessible sport. So the health and wellness side of this is also something that resonates with some of the corporate people we talk to.
Perfect. I have a very key thing I want to discuss with you guys. And before I jump into that, I do want to mention to anybody watching this, the Selkirk TV app that this is carried on, all 65 of my episodes and the interviews that I've done are all available on the Selkirk app. It's a free app. It covers the most insane group of podcasters, coaches, teachers aggregated in one site. And you can even see PPA Pro events live on your phone through the app. Take the opportunity to do that. Selkirk is who makes this possible for me to do this show, and I greatly appreciate their efforts. That being said, I know a mutual friend of ours, a guy named Chris Klein, and I was really sort of interested where Chris is in Chicago and you guys are out on the East Coast. Guide me a little bit as to how your expansion, how your growth is going to come, and how maybe somebody like Chris is working into your future plans.
Yeah. LinkedIn, God, you got to love it. I started using it in my past life as a way to just broaden my own professional network with people across the country in the leadership space. And so I continued to use that for this business. And I met Amitabh, who was doing Pickleball Minds, and went and met you in New Jersey. And from that, Chris met me because of my content there. So Chris and I had a phone call. We got to know what each other was doing. And he is really all over the pickleball space.
Yes,
and
he is.
And he's in an area that we love. We love Chicago. We love the Midwest. We have roots in Indiana. So at the time when we met you, we were trying to figure out what our expansion plan was, because we would get these calls from people in, Iowa or California who wanted to do our program. And it really wasn't practical for Peter and me to fly out there and do it at this point. So we tried to figure out how we could do this. And we thought it was going to be through facilities. But the truth, and it is, by the way, facilities are looking for advanced programming where they can use their courts for a greater revenue stream besides just renting a court for use. So we've had those conversations, but really there needs to be a key person. who has a program that they can bring to these facilities. So when we met Chris, he kind of came back to me and said, is there a way for us to do this together? And we put our heads together and figured this agency model might be a good way to do it, where we trained Chris. So we brought him down to us. He already knew pickleball really well. He knew instruction really well. He came out of the corporate environment. He was in a geography we really liked. And so we brought him to us. We trained him. We equipped him so he could do these events himself in Chicago. And then we market him and help him, you know, create relationships up there and find clients to do it there. So we've done it with him. And then we have another, we have Steve Maniago, who is in Indianapolis. And then we're developing a relationship, and I don't want to throw it out there yet, in the Philadelphia area. And then, like I mentioned to you when I reached out to you on LinkedIn, we'd really like to get the Southwest, just somebody over there who really loves what we're doing and would be really good at it to represent our brand out there.
So this, and that really is sort of, in my mind, the essence of what I'm trying to do here, is if people are watching this and they're in any number of different markets around the country, you're comfortable having them reach out to you and seeing if there's a possibility or how it might work together?
Well, now that we're retired, we actually will go most places, but it is nice to know, like, for sure, if there's somebody anywhere in the country that is interested, we'll either come and deliver as and facilitate, or right now we really do want to find a handful of people who are as invested in what we're doing and would be really good at it.
Yeah, it kind of came down to, you know, Christine mentioned the, you know, trying to what we were calling affiliates, you know, sign up with facilities. And we met a great number of them at Pickleball Minds, in fact, from the East, particularly from the East Coast. And as this evolved, we kind of felt like, you know, we needed boots on the ground that were our, I don't want to call them employees, but, you know, we have the relationship with,
right,
and they have the local knowledge. So they know five different facilities in Chicago instead of us just hooking up with one. And the second part of that is we just wanted to kind of use an overused term, protect the brand, right? If we said to a facility wherever, okay, we're come train you, now you do it. Well, then we don't really have that type of control and assurance that the product that's being delivered, the event quality, is what we, you know, expect. So this agency set up kind of, you know, we morphed into this with people that we know, we've trained, we'll work with them and at their events and vice versa. And it just kind of keeps a consistent level of, you know, product.
Yeah. And that's a great model. And what I, you know, what I always try and hope for in the interviews that I do is that people can see and understand ideas that have been curated and developed that they may have sort of vaguely thought about or something on that order, but they've never known how to execute on it. And I'm thinking of the corporate leaders or HR directors that are always looking for what's a different way, what's a new thing that we can bring to the dance for our employees that's positive and interesting and exciting and does those things. But I can easily imagine, I'll tell you, there's a market, the Southwest is great. I may be able to help you, kind of guide you to some people that might be interested. Another market you have to look at hard is Salt Lake City. It is absolutely enormous. I met a man there probably 2 years ago that did a corporate pickleball league, had 64 companies participate. Wow. And their idea wasn't all high level competition. It was get your team and you've got an after work activity that you do together as a gang and
love
you're
it.
Playing other companies. And the vast majority of them were players that had never gotten into it, but you know that there's companies that are, they see the sport, they know what's going on. That would be one that I would strongly recommend that you pay attention to. And there's a lot of people really trying to find their way in the pickleball space in that market.
Thank you.
You know, I do want to ask you, with one of the things that I'm always interested in the different companies that I talk to and their business models, is how will PBCB potentially contribute to the growth of pickleball, or will it?
Oh, I love that question. So today I was at a graduation for a local leadership institute for women who had been through this program for 9 months. And we had the benefit of being one of their kickoffs in their orientation. They did a communication assessment and then they did pickleball with us. There were 48. So we did 24 in the morning, 24 in the afternoon. So here I'm seeing these women 9 months later who all started with pickleball on day one and now have gone through this whole leadership training. And several of them came up to me and said, oh my gosh, I've got the bug. Now I'm playing regularly. So I think we plant seeds with beginners and we also give them an opportunity to learn in a very safe, the expectations are low. They don't have to walk out to a court in a park and vulnerably put their paddle up. They don't even have to pay for a lesson. Their company has invested in them and we get a chance to show them the joy of the sport, give them their basics, and they can either take the ball and run with it if they want to. So I think we are ground zero for a lot of people, and it's been really fun seeing them out there now.
And just to add to that, the flip side of that is, these facilities that we do put on these events, now they have an audience at their facility that might not ever otherwise have been there. And now they know, if I want to play, I can go to XYZ facility or, ABC facility for my pickleball playing. And, obviously they have all kinds of, programs, levels, et cetera, et cetera. So we like to think that it's a benefit to the facility as well. And back to your point about growth, we hope this helps facilities fill their court time.
Well, and I find so often that even as our sport, we talk about the pre-COVID, was a very different world than post-COVID. But at the end of the day, I'm still surprised with our 12, 15 million players in the United States. Everybody now has heard of pickleball, but it's still an awful lot of people. They don't really know what the barrier or lack of barrier is. And so if their company gives them an introduction to something that would be fun, I could easily imagine them going. And I'm rooting for those kinds of opportunities. As we wrap this up, one of the things that I really like to see, people that had the vision to create a business in pickleball, you got to have some ideas as to what you want. Where would you like to see PBCB go down the road? What is the future of PBCB?
You know what? When we first started it, we really thought it was like this lifestyle business. Peter and I would get a Sprinter van and drive around the country and do this. But we've gotten so much attention from different places that we're sort of at a little inflection point of trying to decide how much we want to work. But I will say this, I know for both of us, it is, if this idea is something that A, resonates with companies and they see something positive happen for their employees, it's a win for us. But truthfully, if it could be a brand that is, acknowledged as high quality in facilities in different locations around the country, I don't even care about how many, but enough places that are delivering our team building, to me, that would be a huge win because it would mean that we developed something that was meaningful, had a positive experience with a lot of people entering the sport for the first time, gave facilities a program that was able to spark beginners to come back and play. That's a win.
Very nice. I want to thank you guys both so much for being on the show today. I knew this was going to be a good interview because you've got great content. It really is fun as I go around in my space of traveling and doing different things. When I see ideas that really resonate with me, they very often are turning into exactly what you guys are doing. Peter and Christine, thank you very much for joining us today on the Future of Pickleball. I look forward to seeing you out there on the pickleball court.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul.
Really appreciate it.